I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would please, to Acts chapter 20. And we'll begin reading with verse 17 of Acts chapter 20. And that's found on page 1182 of the Bibles that we've placed with you in the seats there. Acts chapter 20. As I think you know, we've been planning for the election of elders here for several weeks now. And Martin and I have taken a look at some of the key passages that have to do with the elders. Martin led us through 1 Timothy chapter 3 that gave us some of the qualities that we're to see in an elder. And then last week he took us through Titus 1. And part of the issue there was that the elder's job was to place things in order. Our God is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. So he's given elders to be able to put things in order within the church and with people's lives. We also looked at 1 Peter chapter 5, which refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. And we looked at some of the motivations for the eldership. And today we're going to look at a final passage that has to do with this idea. It's Acts chapter 20. It's a tough passage for a person giving this message because we see the heart and example of the Apostle Paul, and it's very difficult. As I was kind of putting the final touches on the sermon, I felt like I'd throw my pen down and say, this is tough stuff, but we also recognize that the Lord is there to strengthen us and to help us. So if you have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 20, I'd like to read with verse 20, beginning with verse 17. Just a little bit of the context. The church at Ephesus was founded in Acts chapter 19. And now Paul is kind of circling his way back, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. And instead of taking time to go to Ephesus, he calls for the elders of the church to come to him. And so we see that here in verse 17. So let's begin reading verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying to both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. The Bible tells us that in the last days there will be difficult times. And as I think you know, the Bible really paints the picture from the day of our Lord's resurrection to his second coming. It paints that whole time period as the last times. And in the last days, difficult times will come. Probably don't have to tell you that if you just listen to the radio or watch the news or read the newspapers, that more and more our society is moving away from the biblical values that once guided this country. And as we're moving more and more away from those things, the values that still guide and direct and your lives and the values that you cherish will come more and more in question in our society. It will be more and more challenged in our society. So there will be difficult times because of our society and its values, which will be radically opposed to the values that we hold dear as followers of this beloved book and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this passage tells us that there will be difficult days from another source, because Paul says that from among the elders of the church, there will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says that just as there were false prophets among the people, so there will also be false teachers among you. Now, it's easy for us to think about the fact that we're too sophisticated for that. We have the Bible readily available to us. We can listen to all kinds of podcasts, watch TV shows, all kinds of learning that could help us grow more in our devotion to Jesus Christ. We're too sophisticated to be led astray. I've told you in the past the story of a pastor when Jimmy Carter was president and Ronald Reagan was governor of California. Both of these men, Jimmy Carter as president, Ronald Reagan as governor of California, honored a pastor, took pictures with him, gave a press conference with him, basically saying that we need to have more pastors like him. We need to have more pastors like Jim Jones. Some of you will know that's Jim Jones that led 350 of his followers to commit mass suicide. We need to be very careful. We live in troubled times. And so this morning we're going to look once again at the idea that God has provided elders to protect his flock and to be examples to his people. Now, before we get into some of the specifics of this chapter, I just want to explain that this Reformed Presbyterian Church, we hold a two-office view. By that we mean that there are elders and there are deacons. Some of our sister denominations hold a three-office view. There's pastors, there's elders, there's deacons. We have a two-office, there's elders and deacons. So pastors are one among equals of the people here that Paul gathered here on the shores here. And part of that is that we elect leaders and then we decide who are the, in case of elders, the godly men among us, in case of deacons, godly men, godly women. And then we look at to say, well, what's their perspective? The diaconate is really there to serve the practical needs of people. The elder's there to serve the spiritual needs of people. And so we look at what their passions are. We don't see the elder as a higher office than the deacon. These are both offices ordained by God. And I just believe that as our culture goes more and more away from the Lord, that we're going to see more and more people in difficult situations. And so the idea of us being able to show love in practical ways, the diaconal ministry, is going to become more and more important as we move further and further away from biblical values. So I'd encourage you to pray for our deacons. And pray that we would know how to meet the needs of the people in the church and needs of the people of our community. It's going to be vital for us to be those lights shining in our community. And then you might also consider, as you pray for our deacons, to consider what practical needs has God equipped me to meet in our midst or in our community. But we're going to be focusing on the elders this morning. Again, Paul calls the elders together. And in these trying times, we must understand and recognize the role of elders. Paul, the scriptures calls them shepherds. We just read from Jeremiah chapter 23 that the elders are called shepherds. It's a good analogy for the church. We call them ruling elders. I prefer that if we call them shepherding elders. Ruling elders is based on one verse in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. It's the only time the idea of ruling is used. Shepherding is throughout the Bible. And the Old Testament, as we've looked at in the past, is often pictures of how the shepherds have failed. But God, the chief shepherd, comes to the rescue. So in these trying times in which we find ourselves, we must recognize the role of the elders. And so let me give you a few things. We won't take time to delve into any of these for very long. But an elder is to know his flock. And Paul says this in verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to your flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's interesting that the command is to pay for the elders to pay attention to themselves. Again, savage wolves are going to come up from among them. But it also says to pay attention to the people among whom God has made you overseers. So we're to pay careful attention to the flock. We're to know the flock. As you know, in chapter 10 of John, Jesus portrays himself as the good shepherd. And in verse 14, he says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So let me ask you, how well do you know the elders? It's a two-way street, right? Jesus, the chief shepherd, knows his sheep. The elders are to pay careful attention to their flock. But Jesus says that the sheep know his voice. So how well do you know your elders? So the shepherd is to know his flock. Closely related to that, the second thing we need to see is that the shepherd is to care for his flock. We read, I think it was 2 weeks ago from Ezekiel chapter 34, that the problem with the shepherds in the Old Testament is that they were feeding themselves instead of feeding the flock. They were not caring for the weak and needy among them. And so they're being challenged by God there. Now, we made a decision many years ago as a church to try as much as we could to turn our shepherding, instead of being in the hands of just a few people, the shepherds, the elders, of course, are overseas that had to be involved, but to turn our shepherding as much as we could into our small groups where people could have friends, could have accountability, could have people praying for them. And so, if possible, we would encourage you to consider how you might be involved in it. I was in a church down in Jackson, Mississippi. Some of you will know that the church that Lincoln Duncan used to pastor and Derek Thomas was the pastor there. It was a large church building, a large church. And I was fascinated as we went to the Bible school class, or we sometimes call them Sunday school classes, that one of our daughters and I were down there. It was interesting. The first part of their Bible school class was talking about shepherding needs among their groups. Okay, so-and-so is in the hospital. Who can visit her? Who can bring a meal to her? And so-and-so has had a problem at work. Who's there to comfort and help? It was interesting that the shepherding was done by the people. The elders were there, of course, to oversee it, but the shepherding done by the people. And so we tried to put much of our shepherd into the small group ministry. So if you're not involved in a small group, consider joining our Bible study. I know not everybody can do that, but consider joining our Bible study. Join one of our prayer meetings. We have a prayer meeting every Lord's Day morning before the worship service. We have a prayer meeting every Lord's Day evening after the evening service. We have prayer meetings throughout the week. We have small groups, small group Bible studies. We have Celebrate Recovery. We have the bread once a week. We have our fellowship lunch. Once a month on bread and fellowship lunch. So the elders are to care for the church. The church is to care for each other. The body is to care for each other. The elders don't oversee that. But it's the body's responsibility. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Next thing you need to see about an elder is that an elder is to guide the flock. Psalm 23 is talking about. And you see that in verse 27 of our passage here. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. We're to guide the flock by the still waters to help them find the joy and peace that we have in Jesus. The fourth thing that I want you to know is the shepherd is to protect the flock. We see that in verse 28 and in verse 31. Notice the commands. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. In verse 31, be on the alert. Then you have these troubling verses in between, bracketed by these two commands of being careful that there will be false teachers. There will be false teachers among the people, among the elders, rising up from among the elders. One of Satan's goals is to persecute the church. But another one is to penetrate the church. So you need to be on guard. You need to be on guard for the elders. You need to be on guard for yourself. The elders, you need to be on guard. What's going on in your heart? You see, a shepherd is to protect the flock. Fifth thing I want you to note is that a shepherd is to provide for the flock or feed the flock if you want to do that. Again, in the midst of the failures of the shepherds of the Old Testament, God says, but I will raise up shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. You see, it's God is the one that's work. He works through the shepherds to feed people on knowledge and understanding. And sometimes we need to understand these things more deeply than what we do. Knowledge and understanding is how the shepherds are to feed you. In difficult times, we often forget the promises of God. But you have to remember that the promises of God, the presence of God, and the power of God can coexist in the midst of difficulties and trials. Elders are to provide for the people. They're to feed them. They're to be fed on knowledge and understanding. Another thing you need to recognize, the last one that we're going to cover this morning, is that an elder is to be an example to the flock. It's not really here in this passage per se, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, it tells that the elders are not to lord it over the flock, but proving to be an example to the flock. And we see the example of Paul throughout this passage. Let me just highlight a couple of them. In verse 18 and 19, you see that Paul served with integrity. In verses 18 and 19. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set forth in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. You see it again in verse 26 and in verse 31. Let me just read you 31. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. You see the idea that Paul served with integrity. It tells us that he did not covet anyone's gold or silver. He served with integrity. Another way in verse 19 is he served with humility, serving the Lord with all humility. Paul was there not trying to exalt himself, but to serve. An elder should not try to exalt themselves. That's what one of the things 1 Peter 5 is talking about. Paul said, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So an elders are to serve with humility. They're to serve with sacrifice. Look at verses 22 to 24. Paul is saying here that I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. So Paul knew there was going to be trials. There was going to be difficulties. He was going to serve with sacrifice. When James Calvert was going to the Fiji Islands, inhabited by cannibals, the ship captain on the boat he was traveling there tried to dissuade him from going to the Fiji Islands. He said, "You'll be eaten by cannibals." James Calvert's response is one that has rung throughout the history of the Christian church. He said, "We died before we got here." You see, Paul understood that he was going to have sacrifice. In chapter 21, he says, when people are trying to dissuade him from going to Jerusalem, he says, "Why are you doing this and breaking my heart? Do you not realize that I am willing to go and die, suffer and die at Jerusalem for the sake of our Lord Jesus?" So elders serve with sacrifice. Elders serve with great resolve. Again, you see that in verse 24. "But I do not account my life as of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul saw his life as meaningful if he could serve Christ. So he didn't consider his life, his flesh and blood, as anything important. What was important was, am I serving Christ? And so that's just some of the examples that we see of an elder here, of Paul being an example. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me as I also imitate Christ Jesus." So take this list. Whether you're an elder, prospective elder, if you're a Christian, take this list and look at it and say, what are some areas where I need to grow? And who can help me in these areas of growth? The second thing we need to look at just very quickly is that in these trying times, you must recognize your role. You must recognize your role. There are two main things that the Bible teaches us about the role of the people in terms of the eldership, and that is that they're to appreciate the elders. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, they're to obey and submit. And what's interesting about that passage is that the writer of Hebrews goes on and says, let them do this with joy. People are to obey and submit the elders. We're going to be electing new elders here in just a few minutes. And I pray that you'd be able to let them do their job with joy. As they see people that are willing and eager to learn, willing and eager to grow. If necessary, people who are willing and eager to have rebuke, challenge come to your life. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 9, chapter 9, verses 8 and 9, it says that you're to rebuke a wise man that he may be wiser still. Instruct a righteous man that he may increase in learning. Don't rebuke the fool, it says. Allow it to be with joy. In all these things, as is pointed out in 1 Peter chapter 5, our eyes need to be on the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it in Ezekiel 34. You see it in Jeremiah 23. You see it in Jeremiah, other places in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5. God is the one that is going to shepherd you. And the Lord Jesus revealed himself as the good shepherd. Ultimately, God is going to shepherd you through his son, Jesus Christ. But the beauty of the church is that God has entrusted some of that shepherding to you as the body of Christ. We're to serve one another. We're to love one another. We're to rejoice with one another. We're to pray for one another. We're to admonish one another. The list goes on and on and on. But under the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherding has been committed in some respects to the elders. So let them do their job with joy. Be open to them. Be willing to listen to them. Get to know them. Appreciate them. Because in some respects, they are serving the same good shepherd that you are serving. I should say in all respects, they are serving the same shepherd that you serve. You see the idea of wandering sheep, and that's acknowledged in the New Testament as well. But in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2 says, you were continually straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. My friends, how is your relationship with the shepherd and guardian of your soul? Are you finding joy in your service to him? Are you finding joy in your relationship with him? Are you finding fulfillment in your service to him? The elders are here to equip you more and more to serve him and to serve his people. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for these few minutes. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. But vastly more importantly, Lord, we want to thank you for the example of our Lord Jesus. And thank you that we can cast all of our cares upon you. Thank you that you're the one that helps us in times of temptation. Thank you that you're the one that judges the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. We indeed thank you that you are our good shepherd. We do pray that you would be guiding us here in a few minutes as we have an election, but continue to guide us so that we might be used by you to reach Pittsburgh, to reach our communities with the love and treasure of knowing you, and ultimately, Lord, to be involved in that great task that you are doing of building your church around the world. Continue to guide us and allow us to have a part in that great mission of Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.